is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
This festival was going to be safe as possible, because things happened around then and they knew that this was escalating. He knew that this was a personal thing, the Jewish people, the religious leaders, against this Jesus. He knew that. There was nothing to warrant his arrest. He'll even say that. Washes his hands of it. I wash my hands of this. You guys will bear this. But guess what? Pilate bears his own guilt. You can't wash your hands of the things that you know are right, the things that you know God says is right. You can't wash your hands of them.
When Jesus was taken to Pilate, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent and thought he could wash his hands of his sins. Today, Pastor Troy will be reminding us that we can't escape the judgment of our sin unless we receive Jesus' sacrifice for them. Only until we accept Jesus, who took our punishment, will we be cleansed. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So, let's look at Peter's denials of Jesus and talk about some things that we need to know about when we fail. Verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also are with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." Now, Peter was just with Jesus. He took out his sword, we saw last week, and cut off Malchus's ear because he said he would never deny the Lord. Never deny the Lord. And I guess he wanted to maybe prove it. I'm with you, Lord. He follows at a great distance to see what's going to happen. And now we see what's happening. Peter's watching. But as some approach him to say, "Hey, aren't you with him?" He denies it. "I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll die for you." And yet here he is at the very beginning of his three denials. One of the human defenses against being convicted or feeling convicted about our wrong is playing dumb, like we didn't know. Cop pulls you over. "You know what speed you were doing?" "I don't know. I was just going the flow of traffic." Or, "Do you know what the speed limit is here?" "I don't know, officer. What is it?" "Why don't you just look at the speed limit sign right there in front of you? Did you see that stop sign?" "What stop sign?" We like to play it off like, "I don't know." Kids do it. It's an excuse kids use all the time in justifying themselves. "I didn't know. I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know that hurt. I didn't know that was bad. I didn't know you said that." We've said that 10 million times. What do you mean you didn't know? Playing dumb. Something that we need to understand is playing dumb with God is not smart. Because God knows. You can fool people. You can play dumb with people. But you can never play dumb with God. My wife had listened to a study about prayer, and you know, you can teach and not have your heart set upon the Lord. You can counsel and not have your heart set upon the Lord. And there are things that you can do. You can witness and not have your heart set upon the Lord. But in what she had heard, prayer, the reason so few pray today is because it's near impossible to pray and not have your heart set on the Lord. You can, I mean, they do rosary, they do all kind of things, and blah, 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 blah. But you can't really pray and engage with the Lord and not have your heart on Him. Because you can't fake things around Him. He knows the real deal. He knows what you're able to do and what you're not. "Lord, you know I'm too weak for this." Is that right? You, filled by the Holy Spirit of God, are too weak. You know it, Lord. You made me. And so we don't pray honestly before the Lord because he knows. Pilate will play dumb at Jesus' trial where he condemns him to death. He says, what crime has he committed? What did he do? Pilate knows he did nothing. Pilate knows what he'd done. This is news that had traveled. He knew the religious leaders hated him. That's why in Rome, they made sure this festival was going to be safe as possible. Because things happened around then, and they knew that this was escalating. He knew that this was a personal thing. The Jewish people, the religious leaders, against this Jesus. He knew that. There was nothing to warrant his arrest. He'll even say that. Washes his hands of it. I wash my hands of this. You guys will bear this. But guess what? Pilate bears his own guilt. You can't wash your hands of the things that you know are right. The things that you know God says is right. You can't wash your hands of them. He knew Jesus was an innocent man. But see, for Pilate, he was so worried about pleasing the crowds, pleasing the people. He needed their vote. He needed them on his side. So that he says, I don't know what this is about, but we'll do it your way. He pleased the people, and he knew what was right. How about just doing what's right? You don't even have to have all of the information. Do what you know is right. Because God knows when you know the right you ought to do. God knows that. Pilate knew what was right. Even his wife came out and said, do not have anything to do with this man. I had a dream. Don't do anything with him. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Man, see, we think sin is just murder, adultery, all of those things. But when God speaks to our heart a sense of conviction, do this, tell your wife you love her. I mean, it could be that simple. Stop having this attitude. Stop bursting forth in wrath, losing your temper. It doesn't matter what the other person does when the Lord convicts you to not go along with, obey, submit yourself to what God speaks, and to not line yourself up with the Word of God is sin. It doesn't have to be that someone is ultimately murdered or some bad thing happens. When we know the good we ought to do and we do not do it, it is sin. You realize we need a Savior? We are sinners. And we don't even know how bad our situation or our condition is. Peter had no idea that having just seen the arrest and having such a strong heart for the Lord and having just been told, I'll never deny you, just the night before, that in a 24-hour period, he would be denying him three times. He had no idea. But that's how weak we are. Now, the first thing to know about failure is, I don't want to tell you about failure. I want to tell you what we need to know to help either prevent it or recover from failure. The first thing is, if we know God's word, we can avoid a lot of failure. In context, we have to know his word in context. I've heard so many scriptures used out of context to justify what people want to do. Don't take it out of context and expect to justify yourself. But we need to know his word, what he intended to say. What does that really mean? And how can that apply to my life? When we know that, it will keep us out of so much trouble. Peter, it says, will remember Jesus' words after the third denial. And it's then, when he remembers the words, that his heart breaks. But right now, he's totally forgotten that Jesus warned him that this was coming. Jesus told him, stay away. You know, the Bible tells us, stay away from these situations. Stay away from these kinds of people. Stay away, stay away. But we somehow think we can get in those kind of relationships or get really close to the edge. But I'm going to be okay. The Bible tells us over and over, God says over and over, stay away. He warns us. But we think we'll be okay. And it's because we don't take His word to heart. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Hiding His word in your heart helps. If you have weaknesses, if you have struggles, there are things that you deal with consistently in your life, then try this. Search the Scriptures and find the Scriptures that deal with that specifically, that struggle, that concern, and commit those to memory. Not generally. Don't know, yeah, I know the Bible says this is bad. Get the Scriptures and let them do the talking specifically to you. Commit them into your heart and know them. You don't have to know the whole Bible. Just know the parts of it that you need to overcome the sin in your life. But know those Scriptures. If you're struggling with fear, find Scriptures that address fear. Scriptures that say, I don't give the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. You know, there's power and a sound mind in Him. So, okay, I've got fear. Oh, this is not coming from the Lord. Where is this coming from? You commit these Scriptures to your memory and to your heart. If that's what you struggle with, then you need those Scriptures. You know, there's a great little book. I think we still have copies of God's Promises, and you can look them up by category. And there are verses and Scriptures there, and that's where you can kind of begin. Or do a search. Google now, Scriptures on fear. Make sure that you use Scriptures from the Bible. There's some weird stuff out there. So that you can overcome and commit them to memory. Have them in your heart. Don't just read it one time and go, okay, good. Oh, I feel better. Commit them to memory. Take them with you. You need them. Those are the things that you struggle with. And guess what? Guess what? God will use you in those things. Because once you have those memorized, they'll think you know the whole Bible. But someone will struggle with the same thing you struggle with, and you'll go, the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear. And there you are sharing things from your heart that will strengthen someone else. And this good seed being poured in will bear fruit in the lives of others around you. But if you don't start working and letting the Word of God fall upon this active soil in your own heart, it won't bear any fruit. Doubt. If you have doubt about the Lord or His Word or His promises or what He'll do, you need to be in His Word. You need to commit some Scriptures to memory. It'll tell you why you may doubt. Maybe you doubt because there's some sin and what you're trying to accomplish or hoping God will do, He's not going to do. It's not even part of what He would do. And so you have doubt because you're not sure, am I even in the right soil? Am I in the right place spiritually? Find those Scriptures. Pornography, pride, all of these things that you struggle with. If there's a hint of it, go and get the Scriptures and learn them and commit them to memory. Don't just remember what the Scripture says generally. Remember what God's Word says specifically. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." His Word will help you find your way out of that dark place that you find yourself trapped in. So Peter had forgotten what Jesus had said, or he may have been able to overcome and not denied Him three times. After the first time, he may have thought, oh, whoa, I did deny Him. He said, I was going to deny Him. And he could have maybe recovered, but he didn't remember until the rooster crowed, and then, oh, my, this sounds very familiar. And then he looked Jesus in the eyes and realized his failure. Verse 71, when he had gone out to the gateway, so there's failure one, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now he brings an oath into the denial. Before he just played dumb. What are you talking? You don't know what you're talking about. Now he says, I don't know the man. I'm telling you straight up. It's this oath idea is like saying, as God is my witness. Now, what Peter doesn't realize is God is his witness, and he will look at him right in the face here after the third denial. But what's interesting about sin is, as we can see it right here in Peter's three denials, is that sin actually builds and it gets worse. The sin gets worse. The denial gets worse. They say of those who indulge themselves in, say, pornography, that it's one of the worst types of addictions that exists because more of it doesn't feed or quench. It's different types of it. And you wonder how someone gets so depraved. They started probably on the normal side of the sin. And then it's different. It's more this and more that. And it becomes very, very vile. Very, very bad sin. And it's one that causes an addiction that is very difficult to overcome. Not only that, I could list for the rest of our time together all of the things that it would violate. I mean, that's someone else's son or daughter whom they love. And they're probably heartbroken by it. We could go on and on about the type of sin and how evil and wicked it is. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word will help us to avoid these dark paths. So, first Peter plays dumb. That doesn't work. Now he swears by oath. Sin, and this is something we need to know about stumbling and be aware of. Stumbling or sin or failing has a way of producing more sin, more failing. So we need to wake up. When we see the struggle, when we see the failure, when we see the sin expose itself in our hearts, we need to wake up and run like Joseph did when Potiphar's wife was hitting on him and he took off. That's what we need to do. That's how drastic the measures need to be. Sin has been described in the scriptures as being leaven in a lump of dough. It works its way through, it spreads, it grows, and it takes over the whole batch. Paul in Romans speaks of sin as a downward spiral. And guess where it begins? He begins the whole sin downward spiral with the sin of not being thankful to God. They forgot to be thankful. They stopped being thankful to God. In other words, they forgot who blessed them, who gave them what they had, who gave them life. They forgot that. So what do I got to be thankful to Him for? It's the culture. It's the world that we live in. I remember an episode of The Simpsons. I didn't watch The Simpsons, but this was a commercial. And it was about prayer. And they said, we thank you for this stuff that we worked and made and earned on our own anyway, but thank you anyway, God. That's the attitude of the world. I did this. I earned this. I made this happen. But Scripture says, who is it that gives you the power or the strength or the ability to make wealth? To even work a job? And who is it provides the circumstances, the employment, the resources? Who is it that brings all of these things together? It's not you. We can put ourselves in a good situation by behaving, you know, studying, learning, to give ourselves an advantage. Yes, we can. But there are lots of people with degrees and education that put themselves in a better place than maybe you. That, because we're not in total control, things didn't turn out so well for them. It's God who's been gracious to us. Merciful to us, even when we don't deserve it, and we need to be thankful. Otherwise, we become thankless, and we are on the course of turning our back on God toward that downward spiral of sin. Now, the good news is that Jesus is in this situation that Peter's observing right now, for a reason, to die for sin, to fill men with the Holy Spirit so that they can actually have the power, the ability, the enablement to stand and stop the downward spiral. I don't know where you're at today, but you can stop the downward spiral. You have that enabling from God to stand up and stop going that direction. You're getting caught up in a web of lies and deceit and covering the truth a little bit or covering the lies a little bit. You can stop today. You can be free. Now, it may take some repentance, but you can be free. Jesus is on his way to the cross, and Peter is showing why the cross is necessary. I mean, who was closer to the Lord than Peter? The disciples. And Peter denies him. The story of Peter's denial is one of the events that turns up in all four Gospels. And it's as if God wanted to make sure that we saw very clearly that Jesus forgives even those who deny him straight up. He forgives, he saves, and he uses sinners. Just look at Peter. Peter will be greatly used. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29 say, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." The reason God uses failures and sinners and those who realize, "I'm not worthy of this," is because that's the exact point. He wants to take those who realize that and acknowledge that and use them to do things that bring him glory, because then the world looks and they go, "That must be God. There must be a God." I mean, it's like we're a scalpel in his hands. And no one that I know of in the history of having some surgery where a scalpel is required ever thanked the scalpel. We just need to be useful. A dirty scalpel or a scalpel that's unavailable doesn't get used by the surgeon, but a clean scalpel. But even though the scalpel is clean, who cleansed it? The surgeon or the company that does the cleaning. Now, the scalpel just needs to hang in there and not fall apart, you know, and then it gets trashed. But that's all the scalpel's got to do. Where the hand takes it, it goes. And the same thing is true for us. It's not us. It's the Lord. He cleanses us. He renews us. He sets us aside for a time and builds us up. And then he grabs us and he says, "I'm going to do some surgery. I'm going to do some great things with you." But we can't expect that everyone should thank the scalpel. But they should see the surgeon and thank the surgeon. That's what our life is to be devoted to. Being available, serving the Lord, being a clean vessel that we might be used for the glory of God. So, God has chosen the foolish things, and Peter is an example of that. It gives us hope. In verse 73, we read, "A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.'"
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have